Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY Community Radio. Today is March 3rd, 2020, and here we go. I'm Susie Prez, and I am with the normal Tuesday Morning Show host, Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Susie.
Normally, I'm here on a Wednesday morning, but we're here because we have a special show lined up. Who are our guests today, Julie?
Oh, it's really a Wednesday topic this morning, Susie. We're joined by Mike Rosedale and Charlie Worm. Mike is the Bonner County Clerk of District Court, and Charlie, you are the Bonner County Elections Supervisor. So let's hear your voices. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Before we get to this, really, we're, you know, here to talk about the elections and in our area, Bonner County. But before we get to that, let's hear the weather from the National Weather Service. It says it's currently 39 degrees out. Could that be?
Doesn't feel like it.
It says at 6:15 on March 3rd, so I guess it's right. And we have a mostly sunny and breezy, then slight chance of rain today, a high of 47, so I guess so. 10% chance of rain tonight, 30% chance of rain, low of 34. And on Wednesday, chance of rain, snow, then mostly sunny, and a high of 44.
Susie, it sounds like spring skiing weather, sunny, warm. Better get up there, skiers.
I wonder how it is up there.
Pretty nice.
Okay. So we don't want to spend too much time on other things, because we have this opportunity prior to the elections to speak with our election officials here in Bonner County. And okay, let's start with Mike Rosedale. You're an elected official with the title of Bonner County Clerk of the District Court. That's a big title, and you oversee more than just the elections. You have many aspects of our county government, from county auditor and recorder to overseeing county assistants and, of course, the elections. And you manage 40 deputy clerks. Did I read that right?
Roughly 40.
Wow. It's a big job, but right now we're heading towards this big primary election cycle. So it's probably your focus right now on that.
Yes.
Yes. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that position and also your history with it?
Sure. Well, I've been there 5 years. My next re-election cycle is in 2 years from now, so it's their four-year term, so I'll be there 8 years when I rerun again. But yeah, so it's a very interesting job, very different aspects of the job with the court, with the elections, with recording, indigent, and auditing. They're all very different. It makes it a very interesting job, not boring.
And how does a person get to be in that position? Tell us a bit about that.
It wasn't on my radar. Somebody came to me and said, we're looking for somebody with an auditing background and a legal background, and you seem like a good person for it. And I was, so I considered it, and I won.
A lot of attention to details, I'm sure. I remember during the 2016, the night of the election, you had this big room full of people and computers and all kinds of stuff going on. I think you, the counting of the election results was on your plate.
Yes.
Yeah, and you created some kind of a program that actually really worked. And
I ran in 14. The election was in 14. 16 okay. Would have been 2 years after that. But yeah, I don't remember that particular election. But for the presidential one, yes, it was huge. We had 37 eligible write-ins for president. I mean, it was really huge and very time-consuming.
I'm wondering, over the 5 years that you've been involved in this, how engaged do you see the voters in Bonner County? Has participation increased over those years that you've noticed?
Well, one good thing about the presidential election last year is everybody came out to vote. Either they were voting for their candidate or they were voting against the other candidate. So we had a huge participation, huge turnout, huge new registrations. So we have a much larger percent of our community registered voters as registered voters now than we did before that. And I expect this one is going to be one for the record books. This is going to be a huge year.
And where do we stand as a percentage of residents? How many of our voters are residents are out voting?
Well, residents, so you have to be 18 years of older and older. So that
It's complicated.
Right. But we have roughly 24,000 registered voters, and we have roughly 42,000 citizens.
Okay.
We're up to about 27,000 voters now.
Wow, that's happened here within the last few weeks then. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's
great. Fantastic. Do you do any intentional voter registration outreach?
The county does not.
Okay.
Organizations like yours and different communities do. They can hand deliver registration cards to have them mail them back in, but we don't as a county.
So you just provide the infrastructure and all of the support as far as information and,
yes.
And down there at your office. I know that I wanted to give a shout out to those folks down there because they're doing an amazing job.
They are working so
and
hard.
And they're so friendly on the yep. phone, and I can just imagine the phone never stops ringing right now.
It doesn't. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, well, Mike, District 1 is larger than Bonner County, so do you manage just the portion of the district that is Bonner County?
Just Bonner County.
I see. And, okay, so there is the county and there is District 1, but you're just in the county. Other counties would manage the rest of District 1.
Right, so the way that works is you can have a candidate that's in multiple counties in a district. And we tally the votes for that candidate in our county, and other counties tally the votes for their county, and then they, you know, are added up for the district.
Okay.
So we're just getting a little background information before we delve into the details of this primary election cycle right in front of us. And we're going to be talking about the upcoming election and things like that. But Charlie Worm, you are the Bonner County Election Supervisor. I'm mm-hmm. thinking that's your job title. What is your job as supervisor, and how do you work within the county?
We have five people in the office, and all of us pretty much do all the work. So we can interchange back and forth. So I dive in and do the heads down and data entry as well as everything else. So we try to organize, keep it organized, and keep everything running smooth.
I know I was down there doing my early voting, and they were putting together the packets for the voting day and getting everything ready. And I said, wow, it's kind of early. And they said, oh, no, this is ongoing from here on out until Election Day for the presidential one, which is March
10th,
right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just am wanting to understand or more clearly the jobs that you do. Charlie, you manage the elections themselves. And Mike, are you sort of, you're counting, you're auditing. How do you work together, I guess, is what I'd like to understand better.
So Charlie is election manager, and he's the one that does all the streets. He's the one that a lot of times we have petitions. He sort of drives and is in charge of the petitions. He does a lot of the work with the newspapers and the publicity, that kind of a thing. And he's been the one that's been there the longest. So he has the historical knowledge of, you know, what needs to be done, the time frame like that. Different people fill different roles. I am hands-on in building the ballot, doing those kinds of things, actually coding the ballot, working on election night and running those kinds of things, and then talking to media.
Okay. And Charlie, you're out there making sure that the voting locations are organized and you're lining up the folks that volunteer for the elections, that kind of thing?
Yeah, actually, I have an assistant who takes care of most of that under my supervision. Mike is also my sounding board. We have thousands of statues to worry about. And every time I have a question about that, I'll go straight to Mike. And we talk over the law. And if we need a lawyer, Mike brings the lawyer in. So he's the last guy on the buck.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure everything runs well. It's certified. It's official. It's clean, clear, and all things like that.
Right.
And also getting out the word about what's coming up. Charlie, in the recent Reader, which I thought they did a great job of disseminating this big picture that we're going to try to talk about today, you were quoted as saying there that you are gearing up for 3 days of craziness. And what do you mean by that? What is causing that to be a statement? And we're hoping to simplify some of the information here and delineate a bit of that today.
And maybe we should just start out with the voting dates. We've got a primary next week and then another primary.
Right. So the last day to change your affiliation is March 13th. And the reason I said that is because the election day is March 10th. So we've got 3 days of room there where people can change their affiliation And we're expecting it to be busy in those 3 days, as well as the candidates. The last day to file for the candidates for the May 19th election is March 13th.
Okay.
So we'll have a lot of action.
And why might a voter want to be changing their affiliation between this upcoming primary and the next one in May?
So if you want to vote on the Republican ballot in May 19th, you have to be affiliated as a Republican or as unaffiliated. If you're unaffiliated, you have the choice to switch on election day. But if you are a different party, you can't switch.
Okay.
Well, let's just go right through the dates, because you mentioned a few of them. What's the next date? Right now, there's open voting, early voting, up until
May 6th is the last day to vote in our office.
Well, right. If you're talking about this one, this Friday. This Friday is the last day to vote in person absentee.
So March
6th. Or the presidential primary. Not the other primary, just the presidential primary.
So let's just start with that. The presidential primary, be it there's constitutional,
Democrat and Republican.
Right.
Those three parties.
That voting is early voting is open now down at the Election Central, we'll call it, at your office.
At the county courthouse.
No, at the county administration building off Highway 2 and Division.
Okay. Sure.
It's good you've got me here this morning to ask the dumb questions.
We have that question come up all the time. It's a good question.
And so that is open until 5 o'clock on March 6th, and then voting day is March 10th.
Right.
At your polling place.
That's correct.
At your normal polling place.
And let me chime in here. One confusion we have happen a lot is that on Monday or Tuesday, people try to vote at the administration building, and you cannot. You cannot vote at the administration building on election day, only at your precinct.
So why do you close it on Friday night? I'm thinking so that you can get all that information into the database during the weekend and the first and on Monday.
No, that's by code. Since we have in-person absentee, it's not actually a polling place.
Ah,
got it. Okay. So then the election is March 10th. That's for presidential. And basically, you can be unaffiliated and vote on any of the ballots. You can ask for which one you want.
Yeah, so the way that works, if you're unaffiliated, you have what I was saying, like the Willy Wonka gold ticket thing. So if you're unaffiliated, you can vote for any party ballot. You can vote for the Democrat and remain unaffiliated. You can vote for Constitution, remain unaffiliated. If you vote for Republican, you become a Republican.
Ah.
That's basically it.
So you affiliate in the moment if you are unaffiliated.
Yes, with the Republicans, but you don't affiliate necessarily with the Democrats.
Right.
So let's just keep going. We'll come to that again when we get down to May to switch affiliations at the polls. So Friday, March 13th, there's a date here. Deadline to change party affiliation. That's what we're talking about, those 3 days.
3 days. Mm-hmm.
So if you came into the primary for the presidential as a Democrat, but you want to vote, and I think you already mentioned this, as a Republican in the May 19th primary for local and state elections, then you have those 3 days to change.
That's right.
To unaffiliated or Democrat.
Or Republican.
Or Republican.
Right.
No matter what you do, you have to do it by the 13th.
So there is this talk that if you're unaffiliated, however, that's why you're saying it's the golden ticket, that at the polls on May 19th, you can actually ask for the Republican ballot and affiliate as a Republican at the polls.
Yes, that's correct.
That's the big thing.
Right. Some people vote party line. Some people vote for the person. If you vote for the person, you're not sure who that's going to be. Being unaffiliated is a good thing. A lot of people in Bonner County are unaffiliated because either they don't want to associate with a party or because they just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are unaffiliated, your options are wide open.
So if you're unaffiliated and you go to the polls either March 10th or May 19th, and you decide, I'm unaffiliated, but I want to, because the Republican ballots are closed ballots, I want to have the Republican ballot. Those are the people I want to have my vote count for. What do you need to bring to change your affiliation at the poll?
So it'll be just the standard identification that you need to bring to vote, which is the Idaho driver's license, Idaho-issued ID card, passport, tribal card, or your student ID with a picture on it.
So everything with a picture.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And do you need proof of residency, like an address?
Not unless you're not registered to vote. If you want to register to vote, you can do that on election day.
Oh.
Register and vote at the same time. That's when you need the document that has both your name and your current address on it, as well as a photo ID.
So you're at the right place.
Right.
And let me chime in here, too. What we're saying is you can vote on anything if you're unaffiliated in March or in May. If you have not yet registered to vote, you can also vote, even if you haven't, you know, chosen unaffiliated. But you, if you're not yet registered, you can register on the voting day in March or May.
All right. And I have a question about what document you would need to prove your residency in the county. Is that like a utility bill? What sort of things?
Yeah, any kind of document that has both your name and your current address on it.
Okay.
So what happens is they match your name to the address and they match your name to your face. And that way they can, you know, through triangulate, yes, you are who you say you are and you live here.
Okay.
Plus, I think you signed something saying this is all true.
That's right.
So you're you're validating that truth.
Yes.
Well, I want to propose a sort of a hypothetical situation because it seems to me like this would be the reason that people would be using that 3-day period. You've told us that if you're unaffiliated, you can vote for any of the three parties on the ballot on our first primary. However, if you do choose to vote Republican, then you'll become a Republican. You'll change your party designation. So it seems to me that if you're planning to vote Republican again, you would need to do nothing. But if you've become a Republican and then might wish to vote for one of the other parties, you would need to switch back to unaffiliated.
Correct.
So that's basically the...
Correct.
How it would work.
And the state has issued a declaration that you can't switch back on election day. You can switch back the day after.
So, right.
So any paperwork you fill out to do that won't be processed until the day after election. Otherwise, actually reconciling the ballots becomes extremely impossible because you don't know who this person voted as.
Sure. So that's why the 3 days are.
So during those 3 days, someone wants to switch. We're really right in that crazy time. Someone wants to reaffiliate or affiliate with a certain party. They're unaffiliated, but they want to go, or they voted Democrat in the presidential primary, and they want to go to the Republican side for local. What do they do? How do they affiliate in those 3 days?
It's a real simple form. Just come into our office. It's basically put your name and address down where you want to affiliate to and sign your name, sign and date. That's it.
Okay.
It takes about 3 minutes.
Is it possible to do it online?
You can download the form from our county site. If you Google Bonner County and go to the election site, you'll see that form. You can download it, fill it out, and bring it in.
Okay.
It's a real simple form.
But you really have to bring it to the office.
That's correct.
Okay.
In every case, make sure we get it by the 13th. I would hate to have anybody want to do that and then, you know, have it show up on the 14th because we cannot, by law, process that.
Okay. May 13th is a big date.
And then only other option you'd have is at the polls on the day of the election on the 19th of May.
If you're unaffiliated. Yes. Or you haven't registered at all.
Okay. But if you're... Affiliated as a Republican, you can't switch back.
You're locked after the 13th. Yep.
You are affiliated. I'm seeing why this golden ticket is such a perfect thing.
It's good we're talking about this because it does require some understanding, and I'm glad that we're making it really clear this morning, Susie.
Yeah, and I think that just for a moment we can talk. I don't want to get into the politics of who people vote for, but... You know, you've heard the term RINO, Republican in name only. And I don't agree with that term because really in a state that is basically a Republican state, we know that. It could change over the years, but really you vote for the person, not down a party line, for different people, and you look at a ballot. So when do we know when these ballots are set? When will we know the candidates that will be running so we can make that determination possibly?
We have the ballots on our website already. We have the locked candidates for the presidential primary right now. There are 17 on the Democrat ballot. Many of them have dropped out, but by law, they didn't drop out by the withdrawal date. So we have to actually have all of them on the ballot. And so it's up to everybody to do their homework and not vote for a dead candidate, so to speak. They have to vote for one that's still in the race. Okay. I believe everybody in the Republican and everybody in the Constitutional is still in the race. And there's 6 Republicans and 6 Constitutionalists in this race. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're on our website. You can go download the sample ballot. They're going to be the same for everybody, no matter what district or precinct you're in.
Okay.
Some of them I've never even heard of on both sides, you know, on both ballots.
Well, an interesting question has arisen for me, and it's regarding all the candidates that have withdrawn from the presidential race just before a very big primary. Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg, and I was just out of town visiting family, and some had done absentee voting in their states that were part of the primaries, and those votes really won't count, will they, now?
Well, they will be tallied, but they won't count.
Of course. So that's a bit of a case against absentee voting if candidates are going to withdraw.
And just a comment on this. Every time we have a presidential primary, this always happens. There are always a lot in the field at the beginning. And then as time goes through and it becomes obvious who the lead horses in the race are going to be, the ones that are straggling far behind drop out. They can't afford to stay in.
Of course.
I was talking with a friend. I said, well, so who are you going to vote for? And they said, well, I'm waiting till after Super Tuesday to see who's really running.
Well, that's true. And today is going to be a huge day in many states.
And it is Super Tuesday in 14 states, I guess.
That's right.
So that really does have an argument for having that Super Tuesday early in the primary cycle.
I imagine tomorrow you'll have a lot more candidates drop out.
Wow.
Yeah.
We will see about that.
That's right.
So... where are we at, Julie?
Well, the primaries lead to the election. And I guess it would be interesting to know how the challenges for the general election are different from the primaries.
Well, in the general election, unless Charlie wants to chime in.
Oh, go ahead.
But the general election is open no matter what party, doesn't matter. Everybody votes on everything. There's only, so you can vote as a Republican, you can vote for anybody. You can vote for a Democrat. You can vote for a Republican. It's not a partisan election that way, as far as locked into your particular party. So that's interesting. It's a wide open field.
The golden ticket is no longer the golden
relevant.
Ticket.
Right, only for primaries.
All right.
Back to a little bit about the local elections. What positions will we be looking to see which candidates have said they want to be a candidate?
Locally, we have four local positions open. We have Commissioner District 1, Commissioner District 2, the Sheriff, and our Prosecuting Attorney. As of now, we have Commissioner District 1. We have Stephen Bradshaw, who has filed for that one. I know of others that are planning on it, but only Stephen has filed so far. Commissioner District 2, Jeffrey Connolly, has filed. I don't know if anybody else is going to file against him.
All right. They're both the incumbents.
Right. For sheriff, Darrell Wheeler has filed. I don't know of anybody else running against him.
Also the incumbent.
And prosecuting attorney, nobody has filed for that, although I do know Lewis is going to run.
Okay.
Rerun.
And then on the state side. And so we have the Bonner County, and then in the state, we have District 1.
District 7.
District 7 is part of our county also.
And federal. I mean, we have everywhere. So I'll let Charlie talk to that.
So you have on the federal side, we have James Risch's seat is up. And then Representative Folsch and Representative Simpson are up this year. So we'll see them on the ballot as well.
Okay.
And so will they be on the primary ballot in May 19th?
Yes.
Okay, with whoever is running against them, if there is anyone running.
Right.
We'll also have precinct committee people for the Republicans and Democrat Party and Constitution, if they put any out. We'll have federal offices. We will have federal judges up for confirmation votes. We have a Priest Lake Library recall. That'll be on the May ballot as well.
What would help me understand what that would be, a recall?
There was a petition filed to recall some of the trustees for the Priest Lake Library. They got in enough signatures to do that, and the election was ordered, so we'll hold the election.
Okay.
For the recall.
I would guess that's a little bit unusual, a recall election.
Well, we've had it happen a few times. It doesn't happen every time. The burden to actually succeed in that is very high. The threshold is very high, so it's not usually successful. But, yeah, they happen every now and then.
Go ahead, Julie.
Well, there's an important website that you gentlemen helped me get to this morning because I wasn't... Disclaimer, Julie did not know what her designation was, what my affiliation was. I had forgotten or didn't remember. And there's a great place to go, a great website. Tell us about that.
IdahoVotes.gov. You can check to see if you are registered. You can check to see what your affiliation is. And you can check to see which taxing districts you belong to. So it's very useful. You can also pull down the forms that you need to register, the absentee ballot form.
I noticed you can check to see if your absentee vote had been received also.
That's correct.
That's a nice feature.
Mm-hmm. So folks are really looking to see who candidates are going to be. We're talking about county, the district 1 and 2 commissioners and the sheriff. So those are still open for candidates declaring.
Through the 13th, yes. So if you're going to run for District 1, Commissioner District 1, Commissioner District 2, sheriff or prosecutor, you have to do it between now and the 13th. By 5 o'clock the 13th, if you don't file, you're done. And if you file and there's something wrong with your paperwork, you're done.
And that's March 13th.
Yes.
Yeah, it's soon.
Yep.
So that's just local elections. That's the two commissioners, the sheriff, and the prosecuting attorney.
And Heather and Sage.
Oh, so
and all the states.
Our district.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So Heather and Sage are...
They don't file through us. They file with the Secretary of State.
Okay. So, but here in our county, they file with you for those four positions.
Yeah. So if you're going to file as a precinct committee person or one of our local county offices, you need to file through at our office by the end of the day on the 13th.
So precinct committee person is an elected official?
It is.
Well, tell us about that job because I didn't know that.
What that is there are 32 precincts in Bonner County. And so there are 32 available slots to be a precinct committee person. And what that does is you have a vote in that central committee, whether it's the Republican Central Committee, the Democrat Central Committee. So as the Democrat Central Committee is putting together resolutions, they have a vote in saying yes or no and changing it around. The same with the Republican Central Committee. That's what that's about. And theoretically, the central committeemen are supposed to, and in fact are charged with providing poll workers to me to put out in the polls. And they are, normally they go around knocking on doors to support whatever causes they're, trying to do.
As their party.
Right, as their party.
Foreman. Is it a paid position?
No.
So you're elected and you're not paid.
And it's a, yeah.
Sounds like a lot of work. People must be dedicated.
So you're not working for the money, right?
No, not doing it for the money.
I just wanted to back up. We're just kind of going all over the place, but during those 3 days from the election on the 10th to the 13th, when you have to change your affiliation. Okay, so if someone was affiliated as a Democrat right now, and they've already pre-voted early, could they change their designation now before the election?
Not before the election, unless they in-person absentee vote. They can do it then. Or they can do it on election day by checking a box. We're also having them, sign a. A lot of times what happens is that when people change, pick a different ballot than what they're affiliated, and then they actually get registered. So if somebody wants to affiliate as a Republican to take the Republican ballot, they become a Republican. If you're unaffiliated and you vote a Democrat ballot, you don't become a Democrat. People are confused by that. And then when they're on the rolls as now a Republican or as now this or that, they're saying, I didn't do that. Well, yes, they did. So what we're trying to do is have a little form in front of all with the poll workers. So if somebody takes something other than what they're currently registered as, they actually check a box on that form and sign it just as their own acknowledgement that, yes, this is what happens to me now. And so they know where they are now.
Yes, it makes sense.
Yeah, just because... to help clarify it. Otherwise, if somebody did want to vote something different in May, they may not know that their status has changed. This helps them realize that their status has changed. That's the whole purpose of this. The signing, that's nothing legal or statutory. What actually happens is we check the box in the poll book. That actually is what everything is coded by. But this helps the voter realize what they are. It's only for the benefit of the voter.
Brings it to their attention.
Yeah.
Okay, so I still have a question on that. So let's just say someone was voted on the Democratic primary for the president early. They're done. They did that last week. And they were registered as a Democrat. Now, can they go today and unaffiliate and just be unaffiliated? Or register as a Republican or affiliate as a Republican today? Or do they have to wait till after the election?
They can leave the form with us and they won't actually change until after the election when we will put it in.
Is this the form?
That form they can affiliate both ways.
Okay.
Susie's holding up a form, listeners, that says application for absentee voters ballot with party affiliation change form. So that form would work.
Let me clarify. So what Charlie is saying here is that if you've already voted as a Democrat, no, this is a very good question. If you voted as a Democrat, you need to remain a Democrat through the election that you voted in.
That's my
question. So what's going to happen is we will hold that change of party affiliation until right after the election, then change you.
Makes sense. So another question. My mother is 92 years old, so you're probably going to get this. I turned in one of these forms, that change form, and so that we could get the absentee ballot, because getting her to the polls would be almost impossible at this point, but she's totally awake and ready to vote. She's excited. And we did the absentee ballot, and I talked to Bridget down at your office, very nice person. She said it was sent out on the 24th, haven't received it yet. What happens if it doesn't show up?
If it doesn't show up, we can actually cancel that ballot and reissue another one.
Okay.
And what would happen, we would actually have to actually carry it out because it's too late to order an absentee, but we could, you know, in very unusual circumstances, we can drive out two of us together and actually hand deliver a ballot to somebody in a, you know, in a
nursing home. Yeah.
And it would
We've done that a couple times, but not very often.
Or I could just get her dressed up and Julie could help me and
that would
put
be
her
the
in
best.
The car and take her over to her polling station.
But it would be unlikely that the ballot wouldn't make it. So that would be an unusual circumstance.
So
the
is.
Mail wouldn't
Right.
Get
I'm
there.
Still waiting. And so maybe, I don't know. That was the 24th. She said it was actually mailed out. So if she requested an absentee ballot and it never shows up and she goes to her polling place, which is the VFW hall, my place too, she would be able to vote.
What happens
even though she requested the absentee.
Right. So what happens is when we print our poll books that go out to all the precincts, there is an indication of everybody who's requested an absentee ballot. And then it also tells whether it's been returned or not. Okay. If it's been received back from us, that we know it's been voted. And so you can't fool us that way. Okay. But it'll also say if it hasn't been returned. Okay. And so in which case your mother would be fine. She could vote again.
Okay. I think I got it. Thanks for the personal help there.
We have a lot of questions, don't we?
Yeah.
Something that we haven't covered yet is the change. It was in the Reader article that there for 2024 they will be changing the timing of affiliating. Oh, not yet.
I don't think we have that exactly in writing yet.
Well, I think this current election is confusing enough, so we'll save
that for another
rat's nest for another time. Maybe.
Perfect. That's fine.
So let's just go over the dates again, Charlie. You have those down. You have memorized those. Those are your Bible dates right now. So why don't you just take us through the whole dates and stuff?
So March 6th is the last day to vote, what we call absentee in person in our office. March 10th is the actual election. Polls will be open 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. March 13th is the last day to change your affiliation at our office, and it's also the last day for candidates to file their candidacy for the May 19th election. April 27th, we're going to start in-person absentee voting at our office for the May 19th election, and we'll be mailing out absentee mail-out ballots approximately the same day. April 24th through 27th, we'll be mailing those out. May 8th is the deadline for absentee ballot applications to be sent out for the May 19th election. So that's the last day we can accept an application to mail out a ballot. Will be May 8th. And then May 19th is our next election.
All right.
And then what happens? I love this. I love the story of time. So how are you feeling about what's coming up? You're just geared up for lots and lots of work right now.
Yeah, the presidential primary actually is pretty clear. It's cut and dry. The May is going to be a challenge because we don't yet know who the candidates are or how many slots we're going to have to fill. And we have to build those ballots before we've even finished counting this one. So we have an overlap of elections in progress at the same time.
All right.
So that's what makes it difficult.
Okay, I've got two questions, but first I'd like to do a station identification so everyone knows. If you're just joining us this morning, you are listening to KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle, and we're joined this morning by two election officials, Charlie Worm, and you're our election, Bonner County Elections Supervisor, and also Mike Rosedale, and your title is much longer.
Clerk.
All right, we'll just stick with clerk. One question that I have that I've been thinking about is, as we near the primary for Idaho, our presidential primary, you've already mentioned that the county does not let voters know who's still remaining on the ballot, and there's something like 17, you said, potential candidates, many of which have already withdrawn. Is there a reliable website or resource that voters can use to find out, as they're getting ready to vote, who's still left? Not really? None that you...
Well, that would probably be up to the Democrat Party to provide, just like...
Right, the just go online to the Democratic Party.
You know, that's an interesting point. And let me say, because sometimes in November we'll have write-in candidates, and we are not allowed to post who's eligible as a write-in candidate because that gives undue advertising to their names opposed to everybody else in a polling location. You can't campaign within 100 feet of a campaign spot of a voting.
Right, but the Democratic National Party should have a handle on that.
And I think you'll know pretty well by that time. If you're a Democrat, if you want to vote the Democrat ticket, if you wait till this coming weekend, you'll know crystal clearly who's, right. I'm sure,
left. On. Like I said, a lot of people I know are waiting till after tonight.
And we keep referring to the Democrats because the Republican presidential candidate is
I think there's
one
only
person.
One person running right,
right
now.
Well, there are
right.
six, technically.
Oh, really?
There
but
are
some
six.
Have dropped out of those.
I don't believe anybody's dropped out of the Republican race.
Really?
I haven't heard either.
Yep.
All right. We're not hearing much about them, are we? Now, my other question, and this is an important one, too, after the Iowa caucuses. Of course, there was the big to-do about their voting technology. Are there any changes here in Idaho that we need to be aware of?
Not that affect you. And that caucus was held by a caucus. It wasn't held by the state elections system themselves. We have a state election system. If there was a caucus here, that could be iffy. But we have a state elections system. And there's nothing to worry about there. It's completely
good.
Different.
Very good.
I'm so glad we switched from caucus to primary this time because I remember, just for the potential of it's a guess sometimes, it's odd. I think your one vote does not necessarily come out in the end. So
a much different system.
Yeah. I like the primaries.
And Idaho uses paper ballots. Uh-huh. And I don't think there's any plan to ever change that. Iowa tried the electronic. And hopefully they fix it, but we're not going to try that for a while.
Yeah.
The benefit of a paper ballot is if there's ever a question, you can actually physically recount and look at the paper ballots. Now, we report them electronically, but you can go back to the source and recount.
Do you save them?
Yes.
So last, I think it was the 2016, I was down at your central thing with an with another person, and we were looking at some of the controversial ballots
yes.
to try to guess, did they mark that one or did they mark that one? And a lot, and we had to both agree.
Right.
And we had a third person that would come in, and if we couldn't agree, we'd look. And sometimes we had to set them aside because we really couldn't tell.
What you're talking about is the resolution board. And for everybody out there, mark your ballots clearly. Make your intent very clear. The resolution board is when you don't make your intent clear, or if your ballot's torn and we have to physically reproduce that ballot before we can scan it in. If it's not clear, then I have the ultimate say on making a call. We use our best non-political judgment on what your intent was. Sometimes it's very difficult. Most of the time, it's very clear. Most of the time, we can do that. But once in a while, it's difficult.
And in one election in Idaho, I accidentally very well carefully filled in the wrong my wrong candidate, and they did give me a new ballot.
Yeah.
So
if you mess up your ballot on election day, take it back to the issuing clerk and say, I messed up my ballot, please issue me another one. But you can't do that after you give it to the receiving clerk and you dump it in the box and say, I want another one. No, you can't do that.
So,
well, that's really good to know. Be clear, take care of your ballot. It's an important part of what you're hoping to accomplish, your vote.
And on that note, if you do that with your absentee ballot and you've messed up your absentee ballot, you bring it to your precinct on that day and you say, I messed up my absentee ballot. I want to destroy this ballot and be issued another one, and they'll do that for you.
Good to know. And an example of an unclear ballot would be what? Like partially filling in one candidate and then fully filling in another, or just not clearly filling
yes.
your... All right.
Exactly.
Things like that.
I was on that resolution group on that one night, and it was surprising how you couldn't really tell. It was,
really?
Yeah, but...
Don't do that. But, don't be that person.
But most of them go through, but just be as clear as you can. So fill in the blank, really, or the check place.
Okay. Well, we've covered a lot, Susie.
Yeah, and I think in the Reader article, there were some important websites, and let's just talk about those for a minute. What can help people? You know, Julie, when you were asking, how can we find out if we're interested in the Democratic presidential, who has dropped out, I bet we could just go to Google and type in who's still remaining.
Probably so. Probably the easiest.
Google knows everything.
They do.
And you can go to the county site, bonnercountyid.gov/elections. We'll be posting the results the night of the election. They'll be up there. We also have forms, sample ballots, if you need to look at those. You can go to the Idaho Secretary of State site, sos.idaho.gov/elections, and they have a lot of good information.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good information there. And the site we talked about, idahovotes.gov, you can look yourself up and see how you're affiliated, what your taxing districts are. It's very useful. I had one more point I wanted to say. If you're at the polls and you think they're doing things wrong, we have our number, our office number posted on the wall. Please give us a call and we can fix that. We can straighten it out. Don't call the papers.
Yeah. And on that note, too, I have to say all of our poll workers try really hard to get it right, but it is almost an impossible job. So if there's a question, call us and then we can talk to the poll workers and verify that it's being done right or correct them if it's not.
Right. And they're all volunteers as well, yes.
They are.
Right. Yeah.
It's a huge job.
And we appreciate them.
Yes, we do, very much.
And they're very nice people.
Fantastic. You mentioned all these little questions. Sorry about that. But I think, Mike, you mentioned that the records of our voting is available. Is that through the Secretary of State? Could I go back and see if my sent-in absentee ballot was actually recorded from 2 or 3 years ago, whenever?
What you can find out is that we received your ballot. We cannot... tell what you voted.
No, just that it was received.
Yes.
Okay. Because you never know. I'm talking about the mail.
Right.
We haven't gotten the one that we want to fill out for my mom or that she wants to fill out yet. I'll keep looking for a few days. But I'm glad to know that there are some recourses or ways to take care of that if it never shows up.
And in your mom's case, it's interesting to know that if somebody intercepted her ballot and filled it out for her and mailed it back in, it wouldn't count because we actually compare her signature mm-hmm. with what's on the back of the envelope. And if they don't match, we will call your mom and say, did you send this in? Mm-hmm. If she says no, then that ballot doesn't count.
Right.
And your mother would be able to look it up and find out if it had been received, even if she hadn't received it. So she would have a clue if somebody had stolen
it. It would be me looking it up.
Well, we would only have a report of whether we got it back. We don't have any way of knowing if you received it or not, but we have a way of knowing if we got it back because there's a barcode we scan.
That's right. But if she had never received it and then it showed up as having been received, she would be able to understand that mm-hmm. she hadn't voted, but someone had. That must be very unusual.
I think it's unlikely, and if it doesn't show up, I'm taking her to the polling station.
Very unlikely.
Julie, you'll have to help me with that.
It almost never happens. I mean, like once or twice.
I'm sure it's on its way. You guys have done a remarkable job. We're just about out of time. Any last words that you'd like to say? Julie has some.
Well, I actually have one question because we were talking about how unusual voter fraud is, and just how unusual is it in our county? Does it happen?
Basically, just about never. We've had some that we've wondered about, and it hasn't been the case. We thought one person wasn't actually a citizen. It turned out they were a citizen. We thought somebody voted in two places, and that didn't happen. But if we do have a situation like that, we are required by law to turn it over to our prosecuting attorney to charge as a felony.
Wow.
So it's a big deal. I mean, vote once and vote properly. Vote in your precinct where you live. Don't vote somewhere else.
Words to live by,
and on
Susie.
That note, please, everybody, do get out and vote because it matters. Have your vote heard and vote every time.
Yep, it's
now I've got
Charlie.
A point for Susie. If you can get your mother to the polling site in the car, we do offer curbside voting at all the polling places and at the absentee voting place.
Now that's good to know.
Yeah, that's really good to know because getting her in and out of the car is the hard part. So. Right. Once would be the best thing. So thank you so much for coming in. This has been insightful. And
thank you for letting us.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting us.
No, we like you guys. Because what our job here at KRFY is to inform and inspire folks, as you say, to get out and vote. Your vote counts. Do your one vote. Write clearly on your ballot, please.
Yeah.
And thank you again and for all the hard work. And I do want to, again, give a shout out to the folks down in your office there for how nice they are. And helpful.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
We are going to take a short musical break here. What do we have queued up here? Bruce, that's a long song. Let's go with Stevie Wonder, You Are the Sunshine of My Life. We'll be right back with a few announcements about what's going on in our community. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.